Good morning, church. I remember when Mike and Hope were in our church family over in Fowler, and we were talking about an opportunity he had, that he was invited to come over and do a little pulpit supply when Ron was sick and in the hospital, Pastor Ron. And we talked often about it, and he said, I don't know, because he said, I've got my family and I've got my job. And he was quite wound up about trying to make the right decision, but he couldn't get peace about it. And I said to him, I went through that struggle years ago. I was a school teacher, just like Mike, and I ended up being bivocational, where I taught full-time at Thousand Islands, 50 miles away, and then was serving the church up in Fowler. Was invited to come for 5 Sundays as just a fill-in after the pastor left suddenly, and before we got done with it, that became, would you be the interim, and then would you stay on? So I joked with him and said, you called me for 5 weeks, and I retired after 12 years from there and moved on. So I said, that 5 weeks stretched into 12 years. And Mike said, I have all these questions. And I said, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. I did too, because I was facing a similar situation. I was still teaching full time, still loved that, and looked at that as a mission field. And at the same time, I was feeling this huge draw to step into ministry. And so I said to him, as part of my searching, I started writing letters to God. And I said, I saved them all in a folder in my computer, and if you'd like it, I said, I had some of the same questions. And so I said, I'll send them to you, and which I did. And when I saw him the next Sunday after I sent them to him, he said, I could have written those letters. And I said, well, we're facing an identical situation. We had young kids in school, we had a wife, we had a full-time job, and we said, how can I add a church on top of it? And my health had had a couple serious issues with what they thought was heart-related problems. I was hospitalized twice, and all I could ever find was stress. This was just before the call to Fowler. So I was cautioned by some co-workers to say, I don't think this is a good idea. You're struggling now with stress and everything else. Well, you can guess what happened. When I started doing this crazy thing, I'd even hang a clean shirt in my car in the morning and teach all day, change my shirt, and drive up here to do hospital visitation or whatever. And my health improved on top of everything else. So once I got in the right place, it all fell into place. And people would say, you sure? And I said, ask my wife. She won't lie about it. And she said the same thing. And Mike experienced the same thing. It was a thrill for us, because we saw Mike and Hope growing in the church family, getting very involved in the church ministry and the ABC, in our denominational thing, and just loving it. And we always wanted to talk about how things are going on over here. We sort of had a little connection with this church right to start with. But it's been a blessing, because we sort of figured that we pushed Mike out and he started flapping his wings on his own, and look what's happened here. So we just thank God for that. And I tell that story often, especially this week when they said, where are you going next Sunday? So I told them the story that you had been in our church for so long, and how God is still using you here in this place in wonderful ways. I apologize for my voice. My wife and I have been playing Let's Trade Our Colds back and forth this week. It's stable, and we'll see how long it holds as I start to preach. But we're on the mend. And I've even carried a little bottle of disinfectant in my coat pocket this morning. So every now and then you have been watching me. I've been making sure I try to keep my hands germ-free so I don't spread that joy up here for all of you folks. Today's message is all about forgiveness, but I want to start with a story, and it involves my wife. Years ago, we were remodeling the old farmhouse in which we still live, and my wife was working as the church secretary. She was putting together the church newsletter at home. We just put a new program on our, I can't remember what it was, Gateway computer, or maybe back before that, Radio Shack, but it was ancient. And she was trying to make this program. She'd been working all day on this thing, all morning, while I was doing some work. It was a Saturday, so of course, teacher on Saturday, there's projects at home. And so I was working, remodeling the bathroom, which is across the hall from this little corner in our house we called the office. She was in there working on that, and she sort of got the newsletter together. It was looking pretty good. I was working at electrical stuff in the bathroom, so I thought, I've got to get the circuit turned off. So I went down cellar to the breaker board. Some of you are saying, I know what's coming. So I went down and searched, and I found bathroom through the switch. Instantly, I heard my wife yell, oh no, upstairs. So like a dummy, I threw the switch back on like it would make a difference. And I knew what I'd just done. So I went running upstairs, and she was just staring at this computer screen. And hadn't even tried to reboot it. And I said, maybe it saved it for you. Had you saved it yet? She said, no, I was building it. She hadn't saved it. So long story short, when she brought it up, there was a blank page. And so we worked together and tried to get it back in shape. And by the end of the afternoon, it was pretty much there. Why am I telling you this? The story, the message today is about forgiveness. And that seemed to be a very down-to-earth way to explain, because I'll bet you in your relationships, you have had things happen to you, or you've done things to others for which forgiveness was needed. Thank God my wife didn't wait too long to forgive me for that, because that was rather serious for her to have to go through. But I wonder, have any of you ever said, I will never forgive him for what he did to me? Or maybe you've heard, I will never forgive her for what she said the other night. Or maybe you're sort of halfway there and said, well, I'll forgive him, but you better not bring that up again. So did she really forgive him? That's the question. That's the human side of all of us. We get hurt, and our first thought is we want to hurt him back, or at least hold this guard, this shield up, so that we won't be hurt by that person again. Our key verse today, and I'm going to try to use this as we go along here. So I'm going to peek a little bit. Oh, okay. Down here? Yeah. We had that problem in Father. The big screen was here, and our projector was down here, so people would regularly keep pointing at the screen when the machine down here is doing the work. Okay, there's our topic, forgiveness. And I'll just see if this keeps working. I'll keep checking myself. I did it myself, didn't I? Alrighty. Our key verse today is from Ephesians. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now we're going to break this down or unpack it so we might understand it better. And then I have quite a few scriptures. If you're a person that likes taking notes, I jotted them down, and I think I brought extra copies of that. So rather than worrying about trying to get them all, if you want them, I've got them up here after the message, okay? I'll just leave them right here in the front pulpit, or front pew. Kind. The Greek word there means to be gentle and caring, helpful, courteous, useful. It is the root of such words as kin and kindred, which means like one of your family. Now, I suppose depending on your family background, that may be good or bad to treat them like you treat the rest of the family. But it means that we're supposed to be gentle and kind and helpful and compassionate. Again, the Greek word meaning tender-hearted, showing mercy, understanding, showing love. It means to be aware of the other person's hurts and feelings. To be compassionate is to sincerely care for the other person's life and situation. So, besides worrying about ourselves, we have to get outside of ourselves in order to show compassion. To really look on the other side. What are they dealing with? It means to get outside, consider the needs of others. Be kind and considerate. And then it hits the word, forgiving, which out of the Greek means to be gracious to a person. To pardon him or her for some wrong done. To send away, to completely cancel. To erase, and I love that one. And to bestow a favor unconditionally, like a gift. For isn't that how we receive forgiveness from God? Unconditional. I like the word erase, that definition. And I'll show you what I'm talking about. I always, at Fowler, like to have a children's message. You may remember this, I don't know, talking about forgiveness. But I brought out my calculator, except I had a big one so you could see it real easy. And I had the children down front, and I said, now, we're going to add up my sins for 1 week, and you're going to watch. You're going to help me here. So, how many sins do you think I have in 1 day? Well, they came up with some number, I don't know. I punched it in. I said, okay, how many days in a week? 7. Okay, 7 times. And we came up with an outrageous number of sins for me for the week. And I said, now, you see it right over here on this calculator? It was big, so they could see it. And I said, all I have to do is press the Christ key, and it fixes everything. Well, they were a little confused by that, and I said, no, it's got a big C on it. So watch what happens. We say, Lord, I really am sorry for what's happened, that I did this or that. Please forgive me. And I said, it's just like pressing the Christ key on the calculator. And of course, you know what happened. When they watched the numbers and I hit the Christ key, which also happens to be the clear key on a calculator, and I'm all but back to zero. And I said, oh, it says zero. Let me try to bring them back. I couldn't get the number back. And I was just trying to make the point that when God forgives, it's gone. Thank you, Lord. You got that right. Oh my gosh, I guess so. So the next time you use your calculator, maybe it'll remind you of today's message and the power of the Christ key. It's a simple thing, but gosh, it carries real a message, doesn't it? I always try to find something that the children and their parents could talk about. And many times a parent the next Sunday would say, well, thanks a lot for what you shared with them last Sunday, because I've been hearing about it all week. One was about bad feelings. I think the children's message was called Dirty Sneakers, where you let that get in the way of your day and your relationship. And we had a family living, I think, outside of Edwards. Three daughters. And one day, driving to school, the mom worked there. The two older daughters and mom were having a fight. The youngest daughter sat in the back seat. They were back and forth and back and forth. And finally, the youngest daughter said, "Sounds like dirty sneakers to me." So the next Sunday, the mom had to say, "Thank you so much. Now you gave my daughter new ammunition." Okay, moving along. Excuse me. Today, I want to talk about three ways of looking at forgiveness. Okay? Thanks, honey. I thought if this happened, she'd probably be right there ready with that. Already. My problem was I started singing with the music right away, too. I have that danger sometimes, even in our own church, if we have really wonderful old hymns going on, I just let it belt, and later on, all of a sudden, I can hardly speak. So my pipes don't hold up like they used to. I think it has to do something with my age. Anyhow, what was God's greatest commandment? He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? To love God with, all your heart, mind, soul, right? And to love others as yourself, right? Our compassion and our love should set us apart from the rest of the world. Our concern and caring should be different. And forgiving is a large part of it, or it should be. Okay, first way here. Listen, we've got this. Working right. Forgiveness of our sins. God's forgiveness of our sins is the first point I want to talk about forgiveness. God offers forgiveness to all who come to Him in repentance. All who seek His cleansing power in their lives. That's salvation, isn't it? John 1:9. There it is. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. If then, quite often we see those in Scripture. If we do this, God's promising to do that. That's a wonderful promise to walk in. Psalm 51:7 says, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Sister, have you ever seen snow yet? Oh, you're going to have fun. It is amazing when this beautiful white stuff can actually pile up. It's just amazing. We used to have student teachers from overseas, and our students come to our school for a year. I taught in a school. And they would be so excited some days, they said, I ran outside and I caught snowflakes on my tongue last night. Because they just never seen it, never experienced it. It is bright white when it first falls. In the morning, it's almost too bright to look at. Scripture says He will make our hearts whiter than snow. That means He doesn't see a blemish, He doesn't see gray, kind of dirty. When He's forgiven, our sins are gone. In His mind, thank God for that, you betcha. God not only forgives our sins, He forgets them. Really, He said so. Hebrews 10:17. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And just to reinforce that, Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Thank you, Lord. I totally agree with that. God forgets our sins and doesn't keep a record of them. Doesn't hold it over our heads. And He wants us to do the same thing towards others. He has said so in His Word. As a matter of fact, you and I have asked Him to do that very thing. Let me explain myself. Point number two today is our forgiveness of those who have sinned against us. First off, we receive God's total forgiveness, unconditional. When He forgives, He forgets. But, that word but shows up in Scripture a lot. You'll see it today in just a moment. Again, that means but or if. Our forgiveness of others. What does God expect us to do when we've been hurt, wronged, embarrassed, or cheated? Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive the Lord as the Lord forgave you. Matthew 6:14. This one carries some power. If you forgive men when they sin against you, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, these are Jesus' words talking in Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6. But, if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That brings it to another whole level, doesn't it? God wants us to seek forgiveness from Him so we can have a more healthy, functional relationship. A more perfect relationship with Him. But if He's doing that for us, there's a reason for it. He wants us to show that same forgiveness to others. And then He makes this statement. Jesus Himself said it. I can't give you the big, deep theological depth of that last verse. I don't know exactly how this will affect me, but you know what? When I read that as a believer, I'm very uncomfortable to think, what does it mean He will not forgive my sins if I don't forgive others? So my only solution is to do what? Forgive. Then I don't have to worry about it. You've got a smart bunch here. Well trained.
We hand select them before they come in.
So far, it looks like you did a good job. Thank you for being tolerant of this. It's just where we're going to be this morning. When Jesus was asked in Luke 11:14 by His disciples how to pray, He included the phrase, and forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others. When we pray that to God, every time we do the Lord's Prayer, we're saying, and please forgive me based on how I forgive others. That should make some of us nervous. Because just statistically, I'll bet you in this room this morning, maybe including me, there are some people I just don't want to, or I haven't, or I refuse to forgive. It's very possible, because we're human. Maybe an old hurt from your childhood, somebody recently, who knows? Apparently Jesus said it doesn't matter. Because Jesus gave that in the sample prayer. And forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of people who hurt us. That raises the level a lot. It's a good thing, but it really does raise the standard, doesn't it? In Matthew 18, Peter asked Jesus how often he should forgive his brother. And the law of the time said 3 to 4 times was sufficient. So Peter said, if you remember that story, Peter said, well, what if I forgive them 7 times? What was Peter saying? I'll forgive them twice what's expected, right? The law says 3 or 4, I'll forgive them 7. And Jesus said, 70 times 7. Say, okay, 490. So I don't think Peter really thought, okay, I forgive you, brother. Down to 387. Do you think he really did that? No. What was he saying when he said 70 times 7? Forever, right. Because I'm sure I've met people that want to carry that. For, yeah. So I can imagine there are people out there that think, once I get to 490, then I'll have to. They're out there. Always looking for a loophole, you know. Jesus was saying, forever. How often should I forgive? You should keep forgiving. As humans, I find forgetting the hard part. Because everything we've experienced is in our brain someplace. I've had things that have helped me understand that. All of our life experiences. But that should be our goal. We should work toward that. So what do I mean? I mean, when you start thinking, boy, I remember that time, stop right there. Say, Lord, please help me with that. You already took care of that. It's out of my heart. I don't want to worry about it. So stop it mid-thought. Say, I'm not going there. Because it's just going to take me right back to the feelings I had back then. I don't want those. You've already done that for me. Don't let me return back to that sin. So we can stop it right in its tracks. Romans 12:17-21. So far, so good. It says, do not take revenge, my dear friends. Chapter 12, verse 17. But leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He's saying there, Paul is saying that unforgiveness in our heart can be considered an evil. We're keeping the door open for Satan to have an influence on our life when we do that. Revenge or negative feelings churning inside of you are no good for you. Paul is saying that such vengeful attitudes are wrong, are evil. Forgiveness isn't really as much for the one who has offended you. That's something I want to make sure you understand today. Forgiveness is not really for the other person. Forgiveness is for your own heart. Let me explain. I try to use personal experiences because they're the most real to me. I was working in our school system. We had a change in administrative leadership. And I saw that man in about 1 year ruin almost all that the five of us in the music program had tried to build over a long time. I was really torn apart. I hated that fella. And if I looked down our long corridor, I could see his silhouette coming down the hall. I could feel the bile. Just, you know that feeling? And it screwed me up for the whole summer. I'm a positive kind of person, but all summer I was just down in a hole and I was getting worse. I was digging a deeper hole all over that issue. Friends of mine would come by and say, "How are you doing, Bob?" And I'd tell them how I was doing, and I'd just launch. To where I'd notice the friends come by and I'd say, "Hi, Bob, I can't stop now." They didn't want to hear it anymore. And it happened, and my wife reminded me late in the fall over a situation when I was driving the car that was just, it was becoming oppressive. It was taking over. And then I finally said, you know, I can't do this. I finally understood that forgiveness wasn't for him. It was for me. I had to let it go because it was killing me. And it can do that. It can. It's like a cancer. It'll fester. When you forgive somebody else, I had a lady once walk into my office. And we were talking about a real serious situation in her life for years past involving a relative. And she said, "But if I forgive him, he got away with it." I said, "No, he didn't." I said, "If you forgive him, you get it off your heart. You're all set." I said, "It's not, you haven't let him off the hook. You've just taken him out of your books. You don't have to keep a record anymore because God's got this now. And if something's going to happen in terms of a punishment or a consequence because of his behavior, God will take care of that. As a matter of fact, God will probably think things much worse than I could think of. So I don't forgive so he'll get it from God. I have to forgive because it's killing me. Forgiveness is not about the other person." I got to the point with that school person that fall where the Lord basically gave me a smack upside the head and said, "Do you believe the stuff you're telling other people? Because right now it looks like you're a hypocrite." And so I've got to the point where it wasn't easy, it was a process, but I totally forgave that man. And I had no more anxious thoughts about him. I felt better. He was still the same person. But I will tell you a little sidebar. One night, months later, my wife and I were going out for supper. Local diner, sat down. As we normally do, we sit opposite each other so we can talk. This fellow and his wife came in. Walked past us. They both sat. He sat facing this way. She sat facing that way. I didn't even look at him. I just thought, "God, that's in your hands." I was at peace about that. Within moments, I could see him say something to his wife. She scooched over. He came out of the booth and sat next to her, facing away from us. To this day, I can't tell you why, but I've got my own thoughts about it. Looking at me was getting under his skin. I don't know. Why would they otherwise, you know, they must normally sit across from each other so you can talk too, but for some reason, he got uncomfortable. Now I thought, you know, and I didn't say, "Ah, that's good." I just thought, what a curious thing. I'm guessing something was bothering him about it. But I didn't have to worry about it because I had given it to God. And the minute I start worrying about it, what happened? I'm taking it back. I'm going to start all over again. So you've got to make a conscious effort to let it go and let God take care of things. Oh yeah, it affected mine. As a father, as a husband, as a co-worker, they were all getting damaged. So it wasn't just me. My unforgiveness was affecting all the people around me. So it is a cancer. Why am I harping on it? Because I believe unforgiveness is a big issue in even the Christian's life. We have to be reminded, we got to let go. And that idea, he got away with it. Another person came to me, another lady, who had had an awful experience with her dad. In the end, dad died far away. And the person said, "I have forgiven him, but he didn't know it. I never had the chance to say, 'Dad, I forgive you for whatever happened.'" And I had to say to her, like I mentioned to you already this morning, that forgiveness for her wasn't about her father, who was a four. Her. She had to get it out of her own heart. And that's what made the difference. So even if you don't see the person you're forgiven, to tell them they're forgiven, it's off your books. Right? They're not off the hook, but it's off your books. The third thing we want to talk about today, oh, let's see, did I say, yeah, I've gotten this one. The third one, pointing the right direction, it'll work, Bob. Here's one that some people don't even think about. Forgiveness of ourselves. Sometimes the thing which is holding us back is our own attitude. I'm guessing that some of you here this morning are still nursing some old hurts, some old wrongs. Now, it might be your own problem. Why did I ever do that? Why did I ever say that? Why didn't I? You know what I mean? We blame ourselves for things. If we've sought God's forgiveness for something like that, what did God say has happened to those things? Gone. East to the west. If the only reason that they stay current is if we keep bringing it up. I've met people who want to tell you how bad their life was before Christ. And I don't disagree with that at all. But after a while, if you hear them several times, that's all they can tell you is how bad they were back then. It's like, tell me what He's doing in your life now. What about last week? What about tomorrow? Yeah. I mean, there's got to be more than that moment, right? Paul, Romans chapter 7. I call it the doobie-doobie-doop. You may remember I used that phrase. The doobie-doobie-doo chapter. Because Mike and Hope had to sit under all my babbling for years. In Romans chapter 7, I won't bring it up to read it now because of time, but Paul says in part, I'll paraphrase, why is it that the things that I do, I know I shouldn't be doing? And why don't I do the things that I know I'm supposed to do? And he goes on about doing and doobie 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 doo. And then at the very end of the chapter, he says this, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? He was feeling awful about himself. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul basically says, finally, Jesus made it possible for me to say, let all that stuff go. I forgive you. Now let's move forward. Think of what Paul had to forget. Can you imagine someone going around with paperwork so he could come to a new town, find any believers in that town, have them arrested, take them back to Jerusalem? See some of them get in prison, others get killed. Remember Stephen? Who was standing right there? Guarding everybody's coat so they could stone Stephen to death. It was Paul. The things he had to be forgiven from. And yet God said, that's all back then. So I've handled it. It's taken care of. So let's wrap things up a little bit here. What is forgiveness? It's clearing away the pain and the burden. I got ahead of myself. We'll keep going anyways. Oh, there it is. This is what we should do. One thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. It's what we've been talking about. What does he say? Paul says, I press on. I dig in. I hunker down to do what? To move forward. Not to dwell in my past. What? I'm working on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. The goal is to be with the Lord forever. So what do? Draw down. I think about a horse pull. When you see those horses starting to pull, they're in harness, they get down and they just dig in. That's what Paul says. I'm striving. I'm pulling forward. I'm pressing on. I'm letting all that stuff go behind me rather than drag it along like long chains like we think about that Christmas story, you know. The ghost is dragging all his past sins. Paul said, I let it go because it holds me back. I got things to do and that stuff gets in the way. So the challenge is let it go. So what is forgiven? We'll try again. There we are. It's clearing away the pain and the burden. It is being set free. That's another thing I hope you get the sense of today. The release of letting go of the stuff you're carrying around. It's like being washed whiter than snow. It's about getting someone or something out of your head and off your list so you can walk in freedom. Trust me, you will feel lighter. And for me, that's going some to say I feel lighter. But you will. When that weight is gone that you've been carrying around. Forgiveness starts with you, not the other person. They don't have to come crawling to you and ask for a pardon. You forgive before anything happens. If you have never received the forgiveness that God offers every human being, today's a great time to do that. Of course, we're talking about confessing your sins, saying, Lord, I need you in my life. I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. That's the starting point. If your problem is unforgiveness to somebody that's hurt you, He wants to help you let go of that burden. If you carry unforgiveness in your heart, I encourage you to let it go today. It's very common to have. It's not that you're so much worse or better than anybody else. It's just, it's part of the human condition. I was once shown an illustration. I almost think it was a fellow back in Clayton, but it could have been a missionary or an evangelist. And he said it this way. In your heart is a jail. When you have unforgiveness in your heart, you've locked that person or that situation in a jail cell. So far, so good. So who's carrying the weight? I am. It's in my heart. And he said, every time you think about it again, how he wronged you, or you're all of a sudden upset about something, and it starts to fester, you know what you're doing in your head? He said, you're walking down the stairs. Food and water. You're feeding that person in the jail cell. You're keeping it alive. So every time you relive that moment, when she did this to me, or they did that, you're feeding that weight. You're keeping that alive inside of you. And he said, the only way you're going to, he used a visual thing, said, the only way you're going to be free of it. And it was during a long meeting, but he said, here's what I want you to do. Identify that person you're keeping alive in there, in that jail cell. And he said, I want you to walk down the stairs to get to that cell again. But he said, I don't want you to carry food or water. I want you to carry a key with you. When you get down there, I want you to put the key in the lock and say to them, you don't deserve this, but God has set me free from you. And open the door and let them walk. Get them out of your heart. Get them out of your life. That's what they were being told. That's what Jesus is telling us. And that's some challenge you to do today. If you have any unforgiveness in your heart, I don't care what it's involving, because we all can find things that people have hurt us, let it go. What's our example? Jesus. After being beaten, spit upon, insulted, stripped, naked, nailed to a cross, he's up there, and what does he say when he looks down at the Roman soldiers and all those people screaming, crucify him? What does he say? What have we gone through that even comes close to that? There he is. And his example was, Father, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Don't hold this against them. If Jesus did that for what they did to him, I have nothing in my life that compares to what Jesus suffered. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. I have to pray the same prayer if I want to be in his will, right? I'm just challenging you to do what I continue to have to relive every day, and that is, let go of that stuff. It's killing me. So I'll say to you today, let go of those things. Do you have unforgiveness in your heart? Let go of it. It's killing you. And the only person that can do that is who? You. The Lord stands ready to give you all the help, but you need to make that move and say, Lord, help me to forgive that person. That's okay. It's a good prayer. He wants to give you that forgiveness, and he wants to give you the strength and the ability to do it. So it's not like I got to do it on my own and I've earned his help. I just have to say, Lord, I got to let this go. Please help me. And he's right there. There's an illustration that really touched my heart. And it is this. There's the jail cell. Here's our key verse for today. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This image. See that? Because I'm guessing there may be more than one thing you've got carried locked in your heart. Most of us do. Maybe it's just that guy that cut me off on the way to church this morning. You know? It could be anything. And I might talk for 3 or 4 days. You should have seen that idiot Sunday morning. There, that's a problem, isn't it? If I keep that in my heart, it's chewing me up. I got to let that stuff go too. So, forgiveness is all about that. I love the fact that this key is shaped in the heart too. Just happens to be an image that I found. Normally, I've got a song I would play at this moment. I don't think we will today just due to time. But if you're familiar with Ray Bolts, his song, The Altar, I love that song. And it reminds us that God is always ready for us to come to the altar. It doesn't necessarily mean walk down front. It means come to the altar in prayer. You could be sitting in your living room. You could be driving your car. Just don't close your eyes. You can pray to God anytime. Mike probably agrees in our travels back and forth to work and stuff. You probably preach some pretty good sermons behind the wheel of the car. Nobody ever heard them because you're doing it, you're talking to God, and it's frustrating because you get some really good scripture verses and stuff. Like, oh, I got to remember this when I get... You know what happens. If you don't pull off the road and write it right down, you probably won't recall it. But pray, no matter where you are. Come to His altar and say, Lord, I got something I need to lay here today and give you. But I'll tell you what I have done many times in the past. It's another visual. I'm a visual learner. You come to the altar, to the table, and you say, God, I can't handle this anymore. Please take this. Thank you, Lord. And you leave. Did you see what I did? But not all of it, just a little piece of it. But I didn't really let it go because I still got a little bit of it with me. When you do that, let it go. And if you find yourself reaching to take a bit with you, take the microphone. I must be There we go. If you try to take a little bit with you, slap your hand and say, you gave that to God. I may be a little silly, but some of the visuals that I share will stick with people. They stick with me. I'm a visual. I have to see things to really learn. So that's my challenge to you today. And I'll close with a quick story. Once I take another drink from this magic liquid that helps me continue to speak. What's in this, honey? It's good stuff. Spring water. There was a man, a pastor, who had a very difficult parishioner. Her name was Margaret. Any Margaret here this morning? Good. I always like to check. Margaret was a pain. And no matter what the pastor tried to do, she stood against him. And she spent lots of time talking about him at the beauty shop, at the diner and all that. Didn't like him. And he knew it and she knew it. Time went on, and they locked horns awful. There were several very specific incidents, so she heard him. And she was happy about it because she didn't like him. Well, she moved away. About 5 years later, the pastor got a little note and a card. He opened it up, and it was from Margaret. Dear Pastor John, and she went on about, I feel so awful. And she described how, because of a commitment she'd made in a new church after a sermon, she realized how evil she'd been, how bad she'd been, how she'd hurt his ministry. And so she said, I don't know if you ever can, but I'm just asking you, maybe in your heart someday, you could forgive me for what I did to you while I was in your church. Signed it, Margaret. He wrote her a reply, because she did give a return address. Dear Margaret, forgiven, forgotten, forever. Love, Pastor John. That's all it said. The title of today's message, if you need the title, is Forgiven, Forgotten, Forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the message of your word that is not just interesting reading, it's not a historical document, it is alive. It can touch our hearts today. I pray that in this room, even today, there's going to be some of us carrying unforgiveness about some things in our life. It's just normal. It's just human. So we're praying, Lord, right now, first of all, illuminate those things that are a problem in our walk. If we carry unforgiveness toward another person, a situation, anything that might be holding us back to having a more complete relationship with you, help us at this moment to see it. Help us to have the strength to give it to you and then the strength to leave it there. Sometimes that's the greatest strength of all we need. Help us to see our sins, confess them, get rid of them, to get them out of our way so that our relationship with you might be more complete, more perfect, more than what you want it to be. So Lord, help us today to learn to forgive as Jesus forgave. Remind us regularly of Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they just don't know what they're doing. They didn't change, but Jesus wanted them forgiven anyways, and that's the same in our life. It's not about changing the other person. Lord, help us to unlock that door in our heart and let those things go, that we might be free of the weight. We might feel that change in our own life. Not burdened down anymore, but free because of what you've done for us, allowing us to then forgive as Jesus forgave. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the chance to be with this body this morning. We just thank you for your word and how it's alive and ready to help us every day in everyday situations, just like dealing with situations with people. So grant us that strength, Lord. Give us that ability to forgive today. And thank you most of all for giving us our sins, for forgiving them all, making it possible for us to have a relationship with you, Lord. We thank you always. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Mike. What's that?
There was a 5K from Lyle Hopkins by Colonel Justice
Teacher. No, people ask me that a lot about truants. I can tell you we've had several situations. My wife was stopped once for an expired inspection. And the police officer, the arresting officer, was a woman. And she said, Bob King, because that was what the vehicle was registered under. She said, he was my criminal justice instructor in college. And he let her off. Didn't check to see if it was the same Bob King, so.